Nation Radio 1380 WPHM. The WPHM Morning Show continues with Paul Miller on 1380 WPHM.
7:41, still a little slippery out there. Do be careful. A lot of school closings around the St. Clair County area, Port Huron, Marysville among them. Complete list can be seen on our website, WPHM.net. You know, a week ago we had Mayor Pauline Rapp on, and I just offhandedly said, you planning on running for re-election. I'm definitely going to run for re-election. I want to continue to be the mayor of Port Huron. One of the reasons I asked her that was because I had seen on Facebook, our next guest had posted that he wants to run for mayor. He wants to get enough signatures to on a petition to put himself on the ballot to run for mayor of Port Huron. He is the pastor at Faith Christian Community Church, Trey Smith. Pastor, good morning.
How are you? Good morning, sir.
Get nice and close to the mic there so we can
Right.
hear you. What was it that made you decide you want to run for mayor of Port Huron?
Well, two major things. I kind of followed the political scene in our city for a little while, and I was a big advocate for the recovery community. And that was a big piece for me. And I really believe that we missed an opportunity specifically to really show the humanity of government. But then there was a comment specifically made by the current mayor at the time, and she referred to the housing of those who are in recovery as an industry. And I can understand it. I can see that perspective, but I would never refer to people as an industry. And so I think the humanity piece is really missing from government. And the second thing was, in my community, very few people even know who the mayor was. And I took that personally, because I believe if you represent the people and you're the, even though we have a weak mayor, strong city council, city manager, government, I think it's important that people know who represents you and who they can come to if they have questions.
Do you think that's the fault of the mayor, though, or the fault of people who just are sort of apathetic when it comes to local government?
There's a mix of both and there for me. For me, if I'm the leader specifically as a church, if you have a large ministry, and of course, there are people that just kind of just come in to hear the message and go home. But if you allow them to be a member of your organization or your ministry, you should do everything possible to make sure they at least know you, know they have access to you, and make sure they touch you. Now, there's a difference from, you know, if you invite me, I'll come, versus I want to know who you are, and I want to be relational. And so, and the other side of it, I know that normally we only represent those who are boisterous. But I think maybe if you let the people know that, hey, I'm here, you might get them encouraged to be a part of something.
You mentioned the recovery issue, and that certainly is something that it is being addressed by the city, and they are actively working toward getting some help for people in recovery. What would you like to see done differently, or what should have been or could be done differently?
Well, one thing that I did is I put out a Facebook post, and as you can see, that's one of my major meetings, I guess, for President Trump. It's Twitter. For me, it's Facebook. Is putting out the fact that we were silent after we passed the ordinance. Very few people knew that needed recovery, because I work with a lot of people in recovery consistently, and they were continuing to talk about this continuum of care. We need this continuum of care. And so then I put it out there, and I was finally able to get a meeting with Mr. Freed, and I used an unconventional means. I know he's always open and available, but I think it's important that we do this in a way that people can hear and weigh in. So we did a Facebook Live interview, and he put out what the plan was. And for a lot of people, over the 4,000 people that saw that interview, a lot of them didn't know what the plan was because they weren't a part of the meetings and what have you. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing that was important to be done differently, if you will. So to answer your question more specifically, I want the city to constantly let the people know that there is something being done and assure them and show them that there is a way that they can be a part of that process and know what's happening. And that what should have been done different versus the months that went by and people didn't know anything at all.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that communication is one of the most important attributes in a mayor, in city leadership, is to make sure that people know what's going on, which, as I said, is difficult when the information is there. People just don't necessarily go looking for it.
Well, I mean, but it's like this, though. You think about our older community, those who are elderly. They're not on Facebook. They're not on social media. But that's why we still do flyers. That's why we still have a newspaper. But it's up to us. When we don't, for an example, our particular mayor doesn't have the authority like a city manager or the council as a whole, but we can be intentional to make sure that everybody can get the information the way they receive it until we can help them grow to a place where they can come to the meetings we prefer. A lot of things that are posted are available in a city building, but how many people make it out there?
Right. Let's take a step back, introduce yourself. We've talked to you before, and I think most people around town are getting to know who Trey Smith is, but those who don't, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, I am Pastor Trey Smith. I am pastor of Faith Christian Community Church, originally I was born and raised in Warren, Ohio, and then I moved to Atlanta, which I'd have my education, my background. I have a degree in community international economic development. And also I then took some ministry opportunities down in Miami, Florida, in which then I took my call as pastor from that location. And so that's kind of me in a nutshell. I'm married to a wonderful person named Chantel Smith, and she's been gracious to me. And I'm still surprised she still put up with me. That's amazing, right? And now I'm looking to see what I can do to do more for our community through this position opportunity.
All right. So do you have your petition out? Are you collecting signatures?
Absolutely. I mean, it was so interesting to me. When I started putting it out, there were people saying, oh, we want to help you. We want to help you. And I got probably up to about 75 now. And I need to turn this in probably between today and tomorrow and then get on the ballot officially. And so, but there's people who want to go throughout and they're campaigning for me and all that, even right now.
Right. It's still early. It's only January, and we're talking about an election that's not till November, but not too early to start making plans for a campaign for mayor of Port Huron. I want to ask you, why not run for a city council seat? Because the mayor and the city council, they have equal votes. Why not run for city council as opposed to being the mayor?
I'm so glad you asked that question because it's all about influence for me. Even right now, running a campaign this early can actually allow me to bring some difference to some of the things I want to see. Like, number one, the roads are terrible in my area. Like, Nern has been bad for God knows how long. And there are other streets. So right now, with the influence and the people behind me, we can then even put some pressure on our current government to get some of these things done and put some attention to it. And then also, I can encourage more people, like you talked about, those apathetic folks. Some folks that I know don't believe that the city's even concerned about them. That's a realism. Mm-hmm. But just like yesterday, what I did is I went out and I had some pizzas, and I was giving pizzas away to people randomly. And it encouraged folks who said they'd never been a part of the process to actually believe that city cares about them. So for me, until now, until the election, and even after it, it gives people an opportunity to rise up and me to build them up and get them engaged into the process.
Did you go to the city manager's hot dog event on Friday?
Okay. I did.
What did you think of that?
I had mixed feelings. My biggest issue is that I heard a lot of people complaining about the things that were going on in the city again, right? And those normally were minorities. But there were only two minorities in the entire room. I had a big issue with that, and I called our people out on that. The other thing that I think it was good, he had a lot of information, and he had a lot of things to share. But I don't believe that we really had a chance to understand what was happening. For me, this was the intro to say that this guy is telling you he's available. Now we should be flooding his office, flooding his phones with dialogues and conversations about things that are important to us. Because if stuff isn't being done on the South Side, I mean, it's because we don't say anything now at this point.
If you were to become the mayor of Port Huron, what kind of relationship do you think that you would have with the city manager?
Oh, we would have.
If he's still the same city manager, because as you have probably heard, James Freed is interviewing for a job in Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
But if he stays here in Port Huron, what kind of relationship would you envision?
We would have to be best friends. We would have to be best friends simply because he's the one that we are investing a lot of resources in to make sure that our city is great. And I believe that no matter what happens, we may disagree behind closed doors, but for the sake of our city, we have to definitely come together. So let me ask you a question, Paul.
Yeah.
Do you think that if the opportunity is available, do you think he'll go?
Well, I mean, it's you know, sure, if he's offered the job, why wouldn't he? Just like if you were offered a job at, you know, twice your salary, you know, would you take it? And I know money's not everything, but I think, you know, for most people, they'd say, yeah, I'm definitely going to.
And the reason why I ask that, because I'm thinking about, like, some people ask me this question. They said, well, if you become the mayor, are you going to stop pastoring and preaching? I said, no, for me, all of this is about calling. I believe Port Huron could be a city that everybody could want to come to. And we just have to take the necessary initiative to build it accordingly. You're right. Money's not everything, but sometimes you can create the opportunity that would give you the dollar amount that you want.
What does it take to make Port Huron that city everybody wants to come to? Because I feel like we're very close to it. I mean, what more do we want here in Port Huron? What more do we need? What do we not have?
We're a great place to retire. We're a great place to raise a family. But we lack the opportunity of true innovation for millennials and people my age and younger. We need people who are my age and younger, 32 and younger, need to see this as a place where they can build and grow and create their own opportunities. I would love to see this become like a small microcosm of Silicon Valley, you know, for younger generations where they can feel like this is a place where you can be discovered as a basketball athlete, as a football athlete. This is a place where you can start your business and it can go wherever you want to go. This could be a virtual capital of the world.
Why not? sky's the limit, right?
That's what I'm saying.
All right, very good. Hey, we'll look for your bumper stickers around town soon. Trey, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it very much. We'll talk again soon.
Appreciate you, man.